Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Plenty of things for us to get into today. Of course, the normal staples now of the show. Andy from Merrick at late in the 10 o'clock hour, of course. We've got CMT at 11:30, of course. We've got Nobservations at 12:30, of course. And when we start Nobservations, guys, it's been smooth sailing, Rick. It may not be so sunshine and roses at 12:30 today when we start Nobservations.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I could use a day. I'm going to be honest. I could use a day away from the pool.
Really?
Had about enough. Sometimes I wonder. Here's the thing. Sometimes I wonder if the big guy above is trying to punish me, or he realizes, like, he's looking out for my best interest. Like, you do a radio show for 3 hours. There's not much going on in sports. I want to provide you with some content, some real-life content. Because yesterday, in an attempt to race Milo back and forth across the pool, I came down with the most, to say painful is I almost drowned yesterday. I went full leg cramp and just, I almost needed to be rescued from the deep end of the pool yesterday.
I don't know what to say. Lost you yesterday?
I was almost lost. Yeah, I went from groin all the way through the calf into the foot. Completely
cramped. So did you go too hard in your workout in the morning?
I don't know what I did, man. Maybe I wasn't hydrated. Maybe I thought I was Michael Phelps.
Was yesterday leg day at the gym?
There is no leg day. I'm done with that.
You're over it?
I'm over leg day.
Leg day ended when you retired?
Now, as you cramped up swimming the length of the pool, was the chipmunk on the outside looking in just giggling?
The chipmunk, by the way, has put on at least 5 lbs. I don't know if chipmunk's in. Put on 5 lbs. Cassie got a picture of him today. He is a plump, plump little chipmunk.
Well, that's because he's eating good from your garden. What did you think he was hanging around for?
This dude has multiple setups in the yard too. He's got like this one little setup where he goes like through this ground light, and then he's got another little like summer pad over by the pool where he hides underneath the umbrella. Like, this dude has made himself fully comfortable in my backyard.
He's comfortable.
I would be surprised if he shows up in the house at some point.
Nothing to dissuade him from being there.
I didn't get coyote urine. Of course I didn't get coyote. I got lime and everything else. I got a big giant hawk patrol in the backyard, apparently he's useless because he's done nothing for me. I got a red-tailed hawk. Now here's the thing. Do I put some food in the backyard to bring the hawk down? So now he starts patrolling my backyard for me? You think?
I wouldn't want the hawk in the backyard. I'd rather have the chipmunk.
Yeah, but the hawk, now we're talking. I mean, it's a little bit scary for the kids. I don't have a small dog or anything. I think the hawk could be an ally here, no?
I think the hawk is hovering above your backyard because there is food in your backyard.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, I don't think he would be there otherwise.
But for some reason, this chipmunk is outsmarting all of us, and I don't like it.
Savage. All right, the chipmunk, it's a story that never ends here on 98.7 ESPN. And what else never ends is the saga, the drama, the continuous issues with Major League Baseball. Well, yesterday on SportsCenter, Rob Manfred said, guys, there will be baseball.
I'll be disappointed that we're unable to reach an agreement that allows us to play more games. But you know what? I think at the end of the day, the most important thing, and I'm not buying into your number of 48, the most important thing is that we play Major League Baseball in 2020, and I can tell you unequivocally we are going to play Major League Baseball this year.
Chris, strong statements from the commissioner. We will play baseball this season.
Yeah, Dave, we don't need to have any worries. All of the back and forths and the negotiations in the court of public opinion really don't matter. The commissioner has put all our concerns at ease. We're going to have baseball this year. But based on what he told Carl Ravitch last night and the tone that he used, it feels more and more like this is setting up the owners unilaterally imposing that 48-game schedule. And then we'll see where it goes from there. But it doesn't feel like the players and the owners are going to be able to find some middle ground. I know that Rob Manfred said last night that the new proposal that the owners are getting ready to share with the players is a significant step in the players' direction in terms of the salary concerns. But I just don't see these two sides getting on the same page. And And it feels like both of them are dug in and they plan on making this as adversarial as they possibly can. And this is going to be a prelude to the CBA negotiations in 2021. So we will have baseball. We know we're going to see baseball, but I don't think the players are going to be very happy when they set foot on the diamond this year.
Players won't be happy. And here's the other thing, though. I think you're starting to see this in the NBA, too. I mean, they came out with a plan, and all of a sudden it could be up to 50 players that do still have concerns. I mean, there will be still concerns, especially with Major League Baseball playing in their own home ballparks, trying to keep everyone safe, trying to keep everyone from getting COVID-19, traveling in planes and everything else. I just don't understand, when all is said and done, why Rob Manfred and the owners feel like it's in their best interest not to come to some sort of an agreement and just impose a season when they want more playoff teams, and the players have to agree to that. I mean, they want 16 playoff teams. They want players mic'd up. I mean, again, and this may just be me being overly optimistic, but I really feel like when you look, and I looked at the proposals a little bit more this morning. So the last proposal for Major League Baseball, it was just across the board, 65% player cut salary. So you're taking a 65% cut. If you're going to make a concession back towards the players, what do you think they, 5% maybe? So get it to 60%?
Sounds reasonable.
So if players, that goes back to my original thought, where if you go to 60% now, that means you make 40% of your salary. If the players aren't budging from full prorated, 40%, that would be 65 games. Fully prorated.
Right.
And then you get, if you can come to a deal like that, and all of a sudden you get the 16 playoff teams and the players mic'd up and everything else. Which seems like the best option to me.
It does, but it almost feels like the owners are, and maybe this is a bluff, but closing into the point of, look, we got nothing to lose. You're going to play 48 games whether we come to an agreement or not. So we have all the power right now.
Yeah, so if you're the owners, why would you take a quote-unquote significant step in the players' directions when it comes to their salary demands? I don't think that you would. I mean, you're not in a position where you have to. Why concede something to the players at this stage?
Like, because you're not really conceding. I mean, you've actually won. It feels like to the players that you conceded, but you really didn't. Because the players wanted, I mean, originally they thought they were getting 82 games, which was 50% of their salaries. So, I mean, they're still losing 10% of what they wanted.
No, I'm saying you're conceding to the players from the standpoint that you're playing more for player cost than you actually have to. You don't have to pay the players that money. You can just impose the 48-game schedule and pay $1 billion plus whatever you're going to. Well, actually, under that proposal, there would be no playoff revenue going to the players. So you're talking about $1.03 billion in player costs on a 48-game schedule. If I know I've got that in the bag, why should I give the players anything?
Well, because you're not getting what you really want, too, which is another playoff series, which is more playoff games.
Sure.
And you want the players mic'd up and everything else. I just think that the owners know exactly what they're doing. And there was a reason why they leaked out the initial proposal and everything else. And what the players thought on, I think it was March 26th, mm-hmm. when they thought they had an agreement was, it'll be 82 games and we'll get fully prorated salaries for those 82 games, which is ultimately 50% of your salary. If the owners know that, that's what the players want. You fight this. You eat days off the calendar, so we can't play 82. We can't play 76. And you get to, it's a 10% win still for the owners if you play the 65. Plus you get the 16 playoff teams. Like things that you weren't going to get. Like those things you weren't probably going to, I mean, initially when you negotiated this thing, that was not what you guys were going to get. You're just going to get the 82 games at 50%.
Right. So if you implement this, if you force them to play 48 games, then you can't change the postseason, right? It's locked in at what it's been. So you don't get the win there if you're the owners.
Well, you keep all of the revenue. You don't have to share any of that with the players.
Sure. But you don't increase to 16 playoff teams. That doesn't change.
You stay 10. No, you stay 10, yeah.
Right.
You stay 10.
Stay the same way it's been. You have the wild card matchup and then into the series.
Yeah. I mean, that is something that the owners want. That's a carrot out there that could be negotiated on. That's absolutely something that they would want, because you want to try to get as many markets engaged in the postseason, especially when you have this sprint to the finish line to end the regular season, because it's less than a third of the games that you would be playing. But, I mean, I guess I just look at it from the standpoint of, if you're the owners and you've gotten to this point and the players haven't bitten on any of the proposals that you put out there. It just doesn't feel like that's going to happen. How many different back and forths have the owners and the players had up until this point?
A lot.
That's what I'm saying. So if you haven't been able to come to any common ground, and we're talking about months since the owners knew that you weren't going to be able to have fans in stands for the upcoming season, I don't foresee them being able to accomplish that over the course of the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, but again, I keep going back to the same thing. If the owners already know what it's going to take to play this season, and they don't want to play 82 because that's going to cost them too much money. Fully prorated 82 games is too much money. And the idea that if they do impose a season that they can be taken to court, the best way to get around that and get the things that you want is to make it appear like you're actually negotiating when you're really not. You're giving a proposal, but it's pretty much the same proposal. It's the same number. It doesn't really change. Like, and you'll throw them a, you know, okay, there'll be no draft pick compensation in free agency. Well, that's great, but you're still in charge of how much money you're going to spend in free agency. Who cares about the draft pick? You're still the ones that can decide how much money you want to spend in free agency. You control that. That's another thing that the owners control. So you make it look like you're trying to negotiate when in actuality, all you're trying to do is waste time until you get to the point where this is how
the
many
most
games
you can
that
play
we
is
want.
This amount of games.
Oh, exactly, yeah, I absolutely agree with you that that's exactly what the owners are doing, which makes me feel like they're not going to opt for the proposal that you felt like they should throw out there with the 65 games. I mean, if you were talking about both sides being reasonable, the proposal that you had yesterday makes the most sense. The 65 games, players get more in salary, and the owners get the opportunity to have expanded playoffs. It feels like both sides win. But that's not the approach for both sides, because both sides are unwilling to give even a little bit, because they look at this as the backdrop for the 2021 CBA negotiations, and neither side wants to be viewed as weak in terms of how they're going into those negotiations. So I just think that part about this negotiation with this truncated season has been the thing that both sides can't get past. And so you're absolutely right. I think that your approach should be the approach that both sides have, but it's clear that that's not what they're going to do. If we were talking about both sides being reasonably minded, this would have been resolved weeks ago, but they're not. And it feels like the owners are content letting the sand run out of the hourglass and get to the point where you don't have enough days to have anything more than a 48-game regular season.
Yep, and the sand is running out quickly. More from Rod Manfred yesterday on SportsCenter. Will he mandate a 50-game season in Major League Baseball?
But at the end of the day, we negotiated for the right in March to start the season on a number of games that we select in these particular circumstances. And if we have to, we'll exercise that right.
So, I mean, that's kind of last ditch if you're the owners and the players. Maybe there's a chance, Rick, that you get something done before that you can get the 65 games done at the 60% or 65% or somewhere in that range and increase the postseason and you can get a 65-game season. That I think right now would be the ideal.
Well, it was 65%. Their last proposal was the players would take, regardless of how much money you made, if it was $37 million or if it was
across the board, everyone gets the same 65%.
Yeah, it was a 65% pay cut for everybody. So, if you're going to sit there and tell me that you're going to make another proposal that is going to be to the benefit of the players, then you would have to, mess around with that percentage. So I would imagine it's not going to be, they're not going to go, okay, 62%. They'll go 60%.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's full prorated, that would be 65 games. And it reminds me of one of those deals as a player that you feel like when you sign that you won until you take a step back and realize the entire time that you got played. Because they're still saving 10% of what you initially thought you agreed to.
Aren't those most of the deals though? Most of the time, don't you feel like, all right, you know what? We did okay. And then when we sit back and look at it, you're like, no, we didn't do great.
In my experience as a player, those are exactly the deals that we signed.
Right.
But also put on top of that is that you also gave the owners for the next 2 years expanded playoffs, and you're giving them the ability to mic you up. The other piece of leverage you have is, you can control whether or not there's a neutral site playoffs in World Series. Like those are things that are involved in the agreement. Like, so you give those things up and think that you got what you wanted, when in actuality, no, what you wanted was the 82 games and the 50%, but you settled for 65 games and 40%. So you still took a 10% haircut without even realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the things that the players are getting out of this is they're not having any draft pick compensation for qualifying offers, right? They're getting rid of that if they come to an agreement.
Correct.
Yeah, and then you also have the service time, even though you're playing a third of the games that you would be playing in a regular season. So I guess those things have to be counted as wins if you're the players. Those things have a tangible value.
Well, depending on how much the owners want to spend in free agency. That's still one of those things where they control how much money they want to pay. And they don't have, there's no floor in Major League Baseball.
And that's why I was suggesting that should be something that the players push for.
Let's not forget, they just cut off, Major League Baseball just cut the Major League Baseball draft by 35 rounds.
Oh, I know. Yeah. You're talking about a 40-round draft, and they cut it down to 5. And then next year, I think it goes to 20. So, yeah, they're changing the way that they do business, and they're shedding some costs in terms of the overhead from their infrastructure. There's no doubt about it that the baseball owners are pinching pennies, and they're trying to become more frugal when it comes to the money that they're putting out there, because they want to try to do everything they can to enhance the bottom line. But if you're the players, you've got to try to push for provisions that encourage the owners to spend money in player costs. Now, if that's trying to negotiate for a salary floor, or Joel Sherman is even suggesting that they should consider going to a revenue sharing model rather than how they've done business previously, because if they would have shared revenue last year and split it 50-50, they would have gotten more money. So you look at the things that are going on and how analytics has changed the economics of the business. And if you're the players, if you're Tony Clark, you have to be creative in terms of considering what's in the best interest of your players and trying to figure out the model that works best for your guys, maximizing the amount of money that they can get.
I wonder how much of this, too, is the fact that the players, after the last CBA negotiations, feel like they didn't sign a good deal, that Tony Clark feels like he needs to show his players that he can win one of these battles. And the win
can
for them
though?
Is fully... Well, I think for him, apparently for him, the win is, the hill they'll die on is the fully prorated.
Right.
So as long as someone...
Seems kind of short-sighted, though, no?
Oh, yeah, but that's what I mean. But again, this is why, owners for the most part win these negotiations, because they're way smarter than we are when it comes to this stuff. Because there is dissension between the owners. Like, there are the haves and have-nots. But they all get on the same page eventually, and they find a way to make sure they show solidarity, and the players don't. Because there's so many players with so many different agendas. I think Tony Clark has an agenda here. I think he's being, I think both sides are probably being short-sighted, but I think Tony Clark feels like, okay, I got to make my stand now, because these guys need to believe that going into 2021, I'm the guy for this job. I'll get us a win in the next CBA. And the win for him is fully prorated. Like, that is the win for the players.
Well,
like,
that's
easy to sell to the players.
But Rick, if that's what the executive committee is telling him the priority is, then you know, he works at their behest. He's going to do what they ask him to do.
Bless you.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate
it. You're very welcome. That's live radio, baby. Things happen.
Well, you know, when you're at home, you don't have the cough button.
No, I had a coughing fit the other day. Was passed out on the air. I get it. So here's the thing, though. Of course, we want 65 games over 48 or 50. I think that goes without saying. But don't you wrap your arms around anything? Right? Like, I think most people at this point, it's like, all right, if it's 50, if it's 65, I think 80 feels a lot different. I almost think that ship has sailed. But I think the fan at this point, it's like, just give me baseball, for God's sake.
That's what the fan wants. And here's the other thing, though, to take into account. I mean, when we start talking about baseball, I mean, once something does get figured out, baseball coming back, I mean, you haven't heard much from the NHL. I'm sure you will at some point once they kind of have more of a definitive, you know, time frame and, you know, where the city's going to be and everything else. But you're hearing this in basketball already. And that's a bubble. I mean, that's a bubble situation where they're trying to have guys getting tested every day.
And NBA as well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but just think. I mean, initially, the biggest concern for everyone was player safety, right? Bubbles, that didn't work out. Now they're going to go, you know, home stadiums. Think of the logistics involved in actually keeping players safe trying to get this season finished up in baseball with all the travel and everything else. That's daunting. That's not going to be easy.
Well, it's also unnecessary. Yeah, they're the ones that are forcing themselves into travel. That's not a necessity.
No, I know, but it's almost like because the owners have made this strictly about the finances and the players are dug in with the finances, that they're not really fully paying attention to all the different things going into their health. So as long as they get what they want financially, it feels like they'll be willing to forego the safety aspect of it. Like, yes. If they feel like they got a win with the fully prorated, then the owners can just slide in there too. Okay, make sure you sign this waiver, by the way.
Seems kind of short-sighted, man.
But that's what they're doing. But that, I mean, that's, it's, I mean, Chris used the word diabolical. That's what they are. I mean, you think now that we spent all this time going back and forth, and you have, you know, all these players that want to play. I mean, 65% of the league makes $1 million or less. That 65% has to want to play, right? Mookie Betts wants to get a service time. He wants to be a free agent.
Of course.
Stroman and everyone else. So if they get their win, which is fully prorated, is all of a sudden now having to sign a waiver going to hold this thing up? No. They got what they want. So, yeah, we'll do it. Okay, no problem. We'll sign that waiver, and the owners are off the hook.
Yeah, but the fact that the owners even threw that out there, the fact that the owners want that, I mean, to me, that's despicable. I mean, the fact that you don't want any liability for the risk that your players are incurring and the potential damage that they could have to their bodies if they get infected with the coronavirus in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, doesn't that seem a little bit ridiculous to you guys that they want to absolve themselves of any fault?
Of course.
Because of that?
Of course.
It just feels like the owners are being opportunists throughout this entire thing.
But they're always going to be. When are the owners not opportunists in any capacity, in any sport ever?
You're right, Dave, but you would just like the owners to be, you would like them to empathize more with what people are going through and what your players are going to have to go through. I mean, the owners still live in the world. I mean, even though they seem like they're a little bit detached from reality, they still see what's going on.
Do they live in the real world, though, I guess?
Yeah, but they see what's going on, though, Dave. You got 112,000 people that have died from the coronavirus, and they're projecting another 200,000 another 100,000 being dead. So you're talking about at the end of the summer, 200,000 Americans would have died from coronavirus based on the new projections. That's scary. And you're going to ask your players to go out there and play.
And travel,
but you want to get them to sign a waiver so you don't have, you know, any liability in all of this. It just something about that bothers me. Now, I get it. It's a risk reward proposition for the players. If you're willing to play their full pro rata salaries, the players think that the risk is worth it. Okay, I get that. I understand that. But it just to say that you don't want to be responsible for anything that happens to the players in regards to the coronavirus potentially affecting them short term and long term, it just doesn't seem like that's the right approach that they should have. It doesn't seem like that should be the mentality.
Nothing surprises me at this point, though. I mean, how long did it take Major League Baseball to put nets up to protect the fans?
Forever.
Really long time.
Because there were people that didn't like it. Oh, I'm not. My view is going to be obstructed. People are getting smashed in the head and winding up in the hospital for weeks.
Yeah, but those are. I mean, they're looking out for their bottom line. That's what they always do.
Of course they are.
And you can be frustrated about it, but that's ultimately all they're concerned about. And they're going to use this pandemic as an opportunity to extract as much as humanly possible from the players.
Let's go to Dave in the car. Dave, you're first up on a Thursday morning on 98.7 ESPN.
How are you doing?
Good, Dave.
So I have one question and two points, if you'd like to let me share. Number one, let's say if it's not going to be played baseball, so the owner does not have to pay nothing for the players this year?
They already paid, what was it, $170 million?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they already paid out $170 million. But yeah, if there's no season, there's no money paid to the players. No more money.
Okay, so I want to explain what I'm thinking, why the owners should not really give in to this. Number one, first of all, as a fan of baseball,
the most reason why I love baseball is I'm able to be at the game. So this season, whatever this decision is going to be with empty stadiums, correct?
We believe so.
Yeah, so for me, of course it is a live season, but to see baseball on the TV, I'd rather put on an old game and enjoy it.
Hang on
like
a second. You'd rather watch an old game than a brand new game that's live that you don't know the outcome of?
No. Of course I'll choose the live game, but mean to say, if I cannot have the option to go to the stadium and have the fun that we have in the stadium, it's not considered really my baseball that I grew up. I love baseball because
we all love baseball. But I mean, it's a dire time in this country. If you can't go to the game, you can't go to the game. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know the point he was trying to make. I get what he's saying. I mean, I love going to baseball games. Milo asks me every day, when can we go to a baseball game?
That's not the point. But, of course you miss it. But we're not in a situation right now where you're going to be able to go to a baseball game.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, that wouldn't deter me from watching live baseball. I mean, the fact I can't go. What am I going to do?
I mean, a lot of things stink.
Yeah, most things stink at this point, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this is not great for anybody.
I mean, I'd like the opportunity to go to a game as well. But if you can't go, a not-so-distant second, in my opinion, is a live game. I mean, what I wouldn't give to have a Mets game this afternoon to watch?
I'd love to be able to go home and turn on baseball, Dave. Oh. I mean, that's one of the things we love about late spring and in the summertime. You know, being able to have that 1 o'clock game.
That noon game at Citi
Field?
Game?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. You love that. I get it. I understand it's frustrating not being able to go out to the ballpark, but I mean, I'll take baseball on TV as opposed to watching replays of classic ball games.
I'm over that, by the way.
Yeah, I'm all set with that.
Yeah, I don't need to watch, you know, the 86 Mets anymore. I've seen it. It's great. Yeah. They won. I love it. It's wonderful. But give me something new, something fresh, something live. My God. I don't understand why it's funny.
Well, it's not funny. I mean, here's the other thing, too. I mean, and selfishly, I know Canty can't wait to see his Yankees, especially with, you know, this time off. Everyone, you know, going to be healthy. Paxton and hopefully Judge's.
They better win. They better win.
This is exciting for the Mets. It stinks that we lost Syndergaard, but I mean, you start talking about a 65-game season, and you bring into the fact there's going to be a universal DH, which fits perfectly for the Mets. I mean, I think the Mets have as good a shot as any team in the NL this season.
It's certainly exciting, and they certainly have a shot, and I want to see them play. And because I can't go to a game, does it take a lot away? No, not really.
Time out quickly, because this bothered me yesterday. I was listening to the K Show yesterday, and the whole premise that Major League Baseball players would make the decision not to go back because the World Series, because of the circumstances, wouldn't mean as much is ridiculous. If you win the World Series, I don't care how many games, it's the World Series. You're gonna get the ring, you're gonna get the championship and everything else.
Totally agree.
A player's mindset isn't, you know what, because we only played 65 games, no one's going to look at this championship as legit. No, you're going to – every single player will look at the championship as legit.
So
you're going to win just as many playoff games.
No title's going to have merit now. Last year won't have merit, right? The Astros winning doesn't have merit. A shortened season doesn't have merit. Does the 1981 season not have merit because it was a shortened season? It has merit. It's a legitimate championship.
And under the circumstances, I mean, you can make the argument that this is one of the harder championships to win when you go all in with everything these players are going to be asked to do.
And you know what? If you do wind up with 16 teams, in essence, it is the hardest championship to win. You've never had to tackle that many teams before in the postseason.
No, and oh, by the way, I mean, every athlete is a creature of habit. I mean, how are your habits? What is your routine going to be like now? Going to the ballpark and trying to keep yourself socially distant, not be able to use. I mean, they want you to not shower at the. I mean, the list of things that you're going to have to do leading up to the actual game is going to be. I mean, you'll be mentally spent by the time you get on the field to play. I got to get tested now. I got to do this. I got to put the mask. I mean, it's just. I don't know if I could handle it. To be honest, it'd be a wreck.
You could handle it,
Dave. I was crazy when things were fine, and now all of a sudden, you add all these elements to the mix. can't put your hands in your mouth. You can't see and can't chew sunflowers. The whole thing is just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
I think the NBA, I think the NBA players are starting to realize they agreed to Orlando, and then all of a sudden, after you agree to it, you realize what that means.
Exactly. It sounds good until you realize, okay, I got a report in July and I'm going to be quarantined. Well, not even quarantined, but I'm going to be isolated for 7 weeks. It's a whole different ballgame when you actually look at it from a practical standpoint and what you're going to be asked to do. And then, oh, by the way, we're going to have restrictions on visitors.
Yeah, it's one of those things when you make when someone asks you if you want to do something like a month in advance, like, oh yeah, that sounds great.
Right. And then that day comes around, you're like, oh God.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God.
That honestly, if you had to like surmise my life, that could be it. Like, hey, Dave, you want to go out to dinner on the 19th? Sure. The 19th will never happen. That's 6 weeks away. And then the 19th comes, you're like, I can't believe I've committed to this.
That happens to me every single time.
All the time.
My wife would be like, hey, you know, we made plans for tomorrow. I'm like, oh my God, we did.
Well, you agreed to it.
I was like, oh,
it's
God.
The worst. I agreed to it 6 weeks ago. I didn't know this day would come.
I hate that.
That is very defining. All right, 800-919-3776. In these trying times, very important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. 800-919-3776. And listen, do I prefer 160 games? Yes. But how many times, guys, have we had the conversation of something needs to be done? It can get a little bit bland. You know, wouldn't it be great if it was 120 or 100 games that makes every game more important? Well, for those people, you're going to maybe get 60, 50 games. Every game this season will matter. Really, every game is three games, if that's what it is in baseball, right? I mean, every game has the value of three games. Does it in some way make it more exciting, every single game?
In every way.
Yeah, you're talking about every game representing a series in a normal season.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go on a three-game losing streak, you've gone on a nine-game losing streak.
That's why the NFL is king, man. I mean, that's naturally baked into their sport.
Exactly, because it's once a week and there's only 16 of them. Now, today on ESPN Daily, UFC is back with live fights, so how are things going in that bubble? Plus the backstory on how Fight Island went from rumor to reality. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts, 800-919-3776. We start with baseball. We got a lot of things. We got the Red Sox response to what's going on up there as far as racially motivated issues are with the fans, and they finally own that. We'll get into that. What's going on with NASCAR? So a lot to do today. We got, of course, Andy from Merrick. We got CMT. I mean, it's the normal staples. You get the weather update. What time did Rick go to bed? And observations, all of it coming up at some point during the show.
I'm thinking KBO update. KBO update too, by the way, Dave. Big win for the Dinos today. Big win.
Yeah, but that's in and out. Like, that's not a consistent part of the show. People can't turn the radio on at 10:35 and expect a KBO update.
Oh, because I just don't feel like you really like it. I mean, there's just sometimes I want to throw it in. It got dicey at the end, but the Dinos, another big win.
How'd you pick the Dinos?
Because I like the name and I like the logo.
Mm-hmm. And they're very good, aren't they?
Well, yeah, I didn't know at the time when I picked them that they're going to be very good. But yeah, they're currently in first place, 25 and 7.
So your Korean baseball selection better than your American sports selections?
Than every single one of them, yeah.
Yes.
You laugh. Every single one of them. I handpicked because I moved to New York when I was drafted. So I handpicked all the New York teams and did not do a very good job.
No.
No, did not.
You really didn't.
Because I let emotion. I let emotion be involved in the decision making. It's my bad. My fault. I let relationships dictate who I was rooting for.
But
you
just
deserve
to
root
now.
For a winning team, Rico. Even if that team happens to be on the other side of the world, you deserve it. So congratulations to your Dinos.
Thank you, Chris.
Let's go to Christian in Stamford. Christian, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. So just wanted to make a point. You guys kind of teased it right before the break. But I think that this season of baseball is probably going to be one of the most exciting to watch on TV, as crazy as it sounds, with all these games meaning so much. We say it every year. There's nothing better than playoff baseball. It feels like we're probably going to get a full season a playoff style baseball with all these teams involved. And I'm personally excited to see it come back.
Well, I think we're all excited to see it come back, and I think that there's some strange benefit from having a shortened season in that. I mean, what's the number one complaint from the younger fan about baseball, Chris? It's just there's too much of it, right? Not many games during the regular season mean very much.
Well, that's a part of it, and also the inactivity of the within the game. You know what I mean? It's home run and strikeout and not a whole lot in between. So, I mean, there's really nothing that Rob Manfred can do about that in this particular season, but the fact that you do have so much importance on every single game that's going to be played because you're looking at 48 games, I think that does add a little something to it. Like, I can't imagine what the intensity is going to be. It's going to definitely be ratcheted up from a normal regular season game in a 162-game schedule. So I just think the overall approach from the players, the mentality of the clubs when they take the diamond, I think it's going to be different than any other regular season just because this is a sprint, not a marathon. So, yeah, I think it'll lead to a more entertaining brand of baseball in the regular season. And there was the chance, had they been able to get this worked out a lot sooner, to try to attract some fringe sports fans, maybe they can, you know, try to create new baseball fans. But based on how everything is played out in the court of public opinion, I just think that ship has sailed. The best thing that they can do now is try to have a season so they don't do any detrimental damage to the sport for, you know, the future. I think that's the most important thing that they can do now.
As bad as it is now, if they don't come to some kind of agreement, it's only going to get worse.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Between fan interest and then all of a sudden you turn around and they're fighting about the new CBA and there's a potential for a strike or a lockout. It's only going to get messier.
It'd be awful. People will lose themselves over it. I mean, with what's going on in this country right now, in the world right now, if they can't figure out a way to give you some semblance of baseball and play nice for 10 minutes, I honestly don't know what happens.
Well, hopefully you don't find out. Hopefully cooler heads prevail and they find a way to come to some kind of an agreement.
Well, I'll say this, guys. I think that I'm more confident this week that they're going to play baseball than I was last week or the week before. Like, we're going to have a baseball season. I don't think that's a question. I just look at what Rob Manfred and the owners have been proposing and what Rob Manfred said last night, and it feels like they're setting the stage for them imposing that 48-game schedule, which I know the players won't like. And that's just going to make things uglier as we move forward and get closer to those CBA negotiations.
Yeah, I mean, that creates all sorts of issues if all of a sudden Rob Manfred's forced to or makes the decision to impose the 48-game schedule.
Mm-hmm. Becomes very ugly.
Well, it becomes ugly, too, and I think now the conversation does start between some of the players, whether or not they decide to show up. Some of your best players.
Who don't need to play 48 games.
Well, yeah, with the health concerns and everything else.
Right.
I mean, what does Mike Trout decide to do? I mean, his wife's having a baby. He's got a long-term deal. He makes a ton of money. Does he want to, put himself out there and risk getting COVID-19 for the 48 games? He doesn't need to.
No, certainly doesn't need to.
Snell doesn't sound like he wants to. Bryce Harper agreed with him. Nolan Arenado agreed with him. I mean, you're talking about the faces of baseball deciding that they don't want to show up. Which is
really
the opposite of what you need.
Yeah, but Rick, you know the owners are going to rely on the players' teammates putting that pressure on them to show up for them, if for no other reason. They might not like the situation, but I mean, if the rest of your team is going to show up, it's going to be tough for those guys, even though they're the stars of the sport, not to show up just because you realize that they don't want to ever be in a position where they feel like they're letting their guys down.
Yeah, but they could sell it to their teammates, say, listen, you guys need the money, but I'm looking out for the future of the players. I mean, you're talking about, look what's going on with the NFL, man. When as a collective unit, they realize how powerful they are. It's player empowerment. If now all of a sudden the best that baseball has to offer is they take a stand and say, hey, wait, we're not showing up. We're not going to do it.
Yeah, but I guess that's the risk that the owners are running with trying to drive a hard bargain in these negotiations. Like, they're risking alienating the stars of the sport. And can you afford that, especially knowing what the country is going through and what we're dealing with? Can you afford to have baseball come back and not have Mike Trout and Aaron Judge? I mean, the best of the best.
It won't be baseball. I mean, it'll still be good. You'll still watch, but it won't be true baseball. Could you imagine if the Mets came back without Jacob DeGrom? That's what we're talking about. If the Angels came back without Mike Trout?
You'd have issues as the owners. I mean, the owners of baseball, the owners in the National Hockey League are trying to get the faces of the sport more involved so they can market the sport. Like for years and years and years in the NHL, they've tried to have the best players actually have some personality and be easier to work with. And they've been hesitant. I think, you know, baseball players are the same. They've been hesitant. This isn't, you know, NBA and where you're creating stars and everything else. They have a hard time. So they need a working relationship with their best players. And if all of a sudden now you're going to give them the 48 games because that's what you want,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not doing you any favors. And players right now are telling you, we'll give you 16 playoff teams for the next 2 years, and on top of it, we'll be mic'd up. I mean,
significant. That's significant for the owners because that affects how you brand your game, you market your game, getting more teams, more cities involved in the postseason, and then also having more behind-the-scenes access, being able to listen to the players while the game is going on. Like, that's stuff that fans love. I mean, it's worked with other sports.
It's great. We love it in baseball when they do it in the All-Star game. It's sensational.
Yeah, but imagine them doing it in a real game that actually means something.
It'd be unbelievable.
Has postseason implications. Like, that's a different
level. Or the
level.
Postseason.
Exactly. That's a completely different level. Everybody wants to get inside the mind of an athlete. Well, if you got one of these guys who's got his mind on speakerphone and the fans can actually hear that because that player is mic'd up, I mean, how awesome would that be?
Amazing. Amazing.
I mean, you all of a sudden create this connection between the fan and the athlete, the fan and the team that previously wasn't there.
And that's that connection. You break down that wall.
That's what I'm saying. And you can take the fandom around your sport to a whole nother level. Those are significant concessions that the players are willing to give the owners. But, I mean, that's a hard thing to quantify when you start talking about a dollar figure, which is probably why the owners haven't given as much in terms of coming off of what their initial offers were to the players.
Let's go as far as humanly possible. Scott in Australia joins us next on 98.7.
Hi, I was just going to say that we have live sports back in Australia now as of last night.
Scott, we can barely hear you. Can you speak into the phone or speak up a little bit?
Hey. I was just going to say that we have live sports back in Australia as of last night, Australian time.
What'd you get back?
AFL, which is Australian Rules Football, which is pretty much close to NFL.
And how'd it go over?
Ended up in a draw.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, like, are there fans in the stands or people? I'm not looking for the result of the game. How was it received by the population there in Australia?
Don't really know because I started at midnight at work, but there was no fans in the stands. They had crowd noise, which wasn't really pleasing.
Well, you must be happy to have it back, I'd imagine, right?
Oh, definitely. It's my favorite sport, well, next to NFL as well.
So you're in Australia. You have fallen in love with the NFL, huh?
Yeah, I have, with the Patriots, but now that Tom Brady's gone, but still, I'll still stick with them.
Well, you're very loyal to your team, Scott.
Thanks, man.
Very, very loyal. Listen, we appreciate it, man. Check in again.
Thank you. We'll do. Have a good day.
All right. Good stuff.
I love that
Australia,
accent.
Australia, Rick. That's a very far
accent.
Away.
Very far away. Beautiful accent. What is that, New Jersey? And listen, it's not going to be ideal. But again, I mean, you're going to have to look past that. I mean, it's not going to be 100% what you want. It's going to be weird seeing these games with no fans and stands. I mean, if you watch any of the KBO, you got cutouts. You got Boog Shanti
like
cutouts.
It.
You got stuffed animals and everything else. But, I mean, that's...
I wonder, would it be possible for baseball to experiment with some of the computer-generated fans on the broadcast?
CGI yeah. stuff?
Yeah, is that possible?
Uh-huh.
I mean, the NFL is talking about doing that and injecting that into the broadcast just to kind of make it seem more normal for the fan at home. So, I don't know.
They're talking about players standing. I mean, the players going to have to sit in the stands, too, to socially distance. It's going to be weird looking.
What, players are going to sit in the stands in what sport?
In baseball.
Then it won't be allowed in the dugout? They'll have to sit in the stands?
Yeah, some of them that won't participate in the game or don't, okay. They'll be in uniform, but they'll be in the stands.
But
expanded roster sizes, I would imagine it would be difficult to socially distance in the dugout.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you're one of nine, you're in the dugout.
Yeah, but it's all CYA, right. Man. I mean, the KBO from when I first started watching until now, I mean, it's definitely loosened up.
Yeah, it looks like the players are just going about it business as usual. Doesn't look like they've changed. It doesn't look like, you know, they're conscious of any kind of precautions that have been in place in terms of being safe and avoiding transmitting the virus. They look like they're just going out there and playing baseball games, which is what you want.
I mean, that's what we want.
That's what you want.
Yep.
So maybe that's a positive. Maybe you look at that as a positive.
Want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Here's what you do. You click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN. On the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go, or we go, in this case, where you don't. We'll get off the baseball into a little NBA, some news from Woj we'll get into in the 11 o'clock hour. Let's bring him in, everyone's darling here at 98.7, Andy from America. Morning, Andy.
Good morning, Dave. Speaking of Australian rules football, did you have Collingwood and the points last night?
I did, actually.
Good for you. That would make you a winner.
Yeah, good.
So, in honor of Woj coming on with some basketball, I have some basketball questions for you.
Mm. All right.
The long and short of it, starting with CeCe. Through the 2019 season, there have been 26 players listed at 7 feet 3 inches or taller. Three of them have been inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Your guy Ralph Sampson is one of them. Can you name the other two foreigners 7'3" or taller in the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Wow. Nice question.
Oh, boy. 7'3" or taller in the hall.
So here I wonder and I'm talking to Chris here, and I'm not looking for you to say yes or no. You think, is Yao Ming in the hall?
I don't know. That's a great question, Dave.
Rick,
no idea.
I think Yao Ming might be in the Hall of Fame.
Yao Ming?
Give him the bell. There it is.
Yao Ming.
And the third guy?
And the third guy.
Had a nice career with the Portland Trail Blazers. After coming to this country.
Did his best games come not in the NBA?
That's correct.
Yeah. Does his son play in the NBA?
That would also be correct.
Jovetus Sabonis.
You nailed it, my man.
There we go.
All right, Rick. We go from the tall to the short end of the stick here. The only three-time champion of the NBA slam dunk contest is well below 6 feet tall. Can you name him?
Nate Robinson.
You got it. Wow. No hesitation.
Yes.
Now, Dave, this is not
your question. By the way, you know why this is really good? Because now Rick is engaged for the rest of the show. Rick is happy. Rick feels like he had a successful day no matter what happens. Thank you, Andy, and good job.
I'm glad to make Rick's day. Dave,
oh, by the way, quickly. Hey, Andy, quickly, just to give you some, you know how much we love you. Just to further the point, I'm not sure if you saw or not. Your little tasty nugget question of first overall picks in the Hall of Fame was actually brought up on SVP, SportsCenter.
I did not know that. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You're a trendsetter.
I'm trending on Twitter. I'm trending nationally.
Trending.
Wow. Dave, this is not your question, but speaking of Nate Robinson, do you know the distinction about his father?
What do you mean the distinction about his
father? His athletic distinction.
I don't know who his dad is. No, I have no
idea.
His
father, Jacques Robinson, was MVP of the Rose Bowl and the Orange Bowl during his college career.
Oh, and Nate also played football at Washington.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your basketball question, David, is there have been 25 players in NBA history listed at 5'9" or shorter. But only one of them has been inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Calvin Murphy.
And what college did he play for?
Niagara.
Oh, you are too good. Too good.
I am the smartest man alive!
Stay healthy, guys.
Thank you, Andy.
That's unbelievable.
Dave, you're unbelievable. You're a machine. You're not
I want your brain. Dave, just do me a favor. Please promise me this. Okay. Put this in your will and last testament that we can donate your brain to be studied.
Sure. Who would want this thing, though?
My sister-in-law would definitely. I mean, she.
It needs to be studied, Dave.
Studied.
Your mind needs to be studied.
Has to be.
How much useless information can you cram into a brain?
Yeah, where it all goes, I don't understand. Like, what's missing? Like, what had to be taken out for you to have this much?
Everything. Everything is missing.
You've had some crazy ones. That right there, especially because you knew where Niagara. I mean, that's.
But he can just pull this information anytime, anywhere, Rick. Like, it's just like he's got an iCloud of sports trivia that he can tap into whenever he wants.
It's amazing to me. My brain doesn't work like that.
Well, I appreciate the compliments.
But it's almost like
3 for 3. I mean, you answered the same way. You had Nate Robinson right off the tongue.
Yeah, but it's almost like like Chris and I, like our brains, like just it's a scrambled mess. It's like scrambled eggs. Like you gotta fish through things to try to find the information. I mean, unless it's something that we've seen recently or studied the night before. You, it's like all perfectly itemized.
And you right? Can just go exactly. To it whenever you... It's all cataloged.
I'm going through index
like
cards
library.
In the brain.
Yeah, it's like just pops up. Like the second he asked the question, it's just like
Calvin Murphy, and he went.
The
to
card
Niagara.
Just pops
who,
up.
Who knows that?
I'm sorry.
It's like a full Wikipedia on that player that just pops right up.
Yeah, he was a terrific player.
It's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I'll take it for what it's worth.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.